The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hi, this is Larry Wilson for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Money Matters. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Money.com, Kiplinger.com, Kiplinger Personal Finance, and the AARP magazine. First up, from Money.com, 5 Smart Ways to Save Money on Your Pets. Money may not be able to buy you happiness, but it can buy treats, toys, and training for your furry four-legged friend, and that's basically the same thing. Though pet ownership has always been a financial commitment, it's especially true today. What's more, pet products have seen the same sky-high inflation this year as other everyday consumer goods, up 9.7% from last year. Yet even with mounting day-to-day cost and the temptation to splurge on a growing roster of specialty services, you don't have to go broke to be a good pet parent. Start by choosing a pet and breed that fits your budget. Cats tend to be cheaper than dogs, for example. Small dogs tend to cost less than large dogs, while breeds like a Maltese or poodle need more frequent and expensive grooming. If you're already a pet owner, follow these 5 tips to plan for expenses and cut day-to-day cost. Number 1. Be a savvy shopper. Americans spend a record $123 billion on their pets last year. The biggest share of that big chunk of change comes from pet food and treats. For many pet owners, it's money well spent. V. Ware, founder of the budgeting blog The Frugal Fox, says she's quick to recommend spending a bit more to buy higher quality food. She lives in Boulder, Colorado, with her 2 Australian Shepherds and a mixed breed dog. It will save you money in the long run, she says, because you're going to avoid health problems later on. There are always ways to save on that budget line in the here and now, too. For one, Weir says, you should always look for rebates or coupons online or for loyalty programs. She shops at a nearby Chuck and Don's for her dog food, where every 10th bag she purchases is free. Some national stores like Petco have similar programs. If your brand or pet store has regular sales, plan to buy food in bulk during those times. And if you order your food online, consider a delivery subscription service like Amazon or Chewy to get a 5% to 10% monthly discount. You can swap brand name food and treats for cheaper generic versions. Just be sure to look at the list of ingredients first. Try to avoid low-quality fillers like chicken or beef byproducts and corn, and look instead for foods that are protein-based. When in doubt, ask your vet, says Bob Lester, chief medical officer at Wellhaven Pet Health in Portland, Oregon. Often there are middle-of-the-road alternative pet foods that are very good for your pet, but that you don't have to spend a ton of money on, he says. Shop for toys, beds, bowls, and other items at discount stores like TJ Maxx or Home Goods. Even dollar stores carry dog and cat toys, Weir says. You don't have to buy the Kong balls, she says. You can buy a knockoff toy for your dog. They're not going to know. Number 2, weigh the cost and benefits of pet insurance. Pet insurance prices depend on location, breed, and scope of coverage, but a typical policy costs $50 a month for dogs on average and nearly $30 a month for cats, according to the North American Pet Health Insurance Association. The most common pet insurance plans don't cover preventive or routine care like vaccinations or teeth cleaning. and you'll have to spend enough money out of pocket to meet your deductible, typically about $500. After you hit that amount, you'll still owe a percentage of the remaining cost, between 10 and 30%, depending on your coverage. A 2021 money analysis of pet insurance rates and veterinarian expenses found the odds are low for collecting on insurance if your dog or cat has a normal medical life. Even minor accidents may not add up enough to meet your annual deductible. According to a survey from the American Pet Products Association, cat owners spend an average of $170 to $255 a year on vet visits for surgery, sickness, or emergency. For dogs, the average ranges from $285 to $460. So insurance is most likely to pay off if your pet develops a serious illness or has a major accident. Just like any insurance, you're paying for what-ifs, Weir says. The bottom line, pet insurance is ideal for pet owners willing to pay for the peace of mind against the worst-case scenario. If you're in this camp, read the fine print carefully. Pet insurance policies come with a lot of exclusions and caveats, including sometimes requiring you to meet a new deductible each time your pet has a new health condition. Many policies come with annual or lifetime limits, too, meaning that if your pet has a very expensive condition, you may still need to cover costs once your insurance is maxed out. You should also shop around for policies. A separate money analysis of pet insurance pricing found wide ranges in what different insurers charged, sometimes adding up to hundreds of dollars a year. To keep monthly costs low, but still have some protection against the most expensive emergencies, consider a high deductible plan. Choosing a $500 deductible rather than a $200 deductible saved owners more than $200 a year in premiums, money previously found. Number three, ask your veterinarian about a wellness plan. Insurance in the pet world is reactive. It typically kicks in after there's a health crisis. Lester says he's an advocate for helping owners afford proactive health care for their pets. That means staying on top of things like annual shots, checkups, and dental cleanings to help prevent the need for more expensive procedures down the line. Some veterinarians offer what's called a wellness plan for this type of routine care. It's basically a subscription model for vet care, Lester says. The beauty of these plans, he explains, is that they help pet owners take control of their budget. For $30 to $50 a month, depending on the plan, all your routine veterinary services will be covered. That includes vaccinations and preventive care, and often extends to things like nutrition counseling and dental care. It's budgeted to just a couple of bucks a day for most folks, and that takes care of all those things that help keep their pets from getting sick, Lester says. The caveat here is that you may need to shop around for an animal hospital that offers such a plan. And if you do enroll, you might have to use all the covered services every single year in order to make sense financially. You can also look for a low-cost vet clinic in your area. These services often run out of veterinarian schools or through nonprofit organizations, and they offer discounted services to lower-income pet owners. Number four, comparison shop for medications. Just like with human medicine, pet medicine pricing isn't standardized. Be sure to ask your vet if there's a generic version of the medication your dog or cat needs. Check what it costs to buy it through your vet, too. They may be able to buy in bulk and pass on some savings to you, Lester says. Don't take the first price you're offered either. After getting an estimate from your vet, look at specialty online retailers like 1-800-PetMeds, Discount Pet Medicines, or PetCareRx. You should also check local pet stores. Weir says she saved $20 on a joint supplement for her dogs by buying it at PetSmart instead of through her vet. Costco and Amazon, which both carry a decent number of pet medicines, also are worth looking into. Number 5, look for ways to save on pet services. Pet services like dog walking, dog daycare, and pet sitting are popular with owners who work outside of the house for long periods of time, but that help comes at a steep price. Since dog walkers generally set their own rates, the cost can vary quite a lot. Your location and days of the week when you're out of the house can also influence the price. But in general, walks on apps like Rover and Wag start at about $20 and increase with longer walks. Pet sitting or boarding also varies widely, with an average around $30 to $40 a night. Cats tend to be cheaper. Sitters with a lot of experience can charge much more. If you need to take your dog to a daycare center, usually the best way to save is to purchase a package of days at a discount. There are other ways to save, but they take a bit of legwork. Creating your own cooperative purchasing program with your neighbors, where everybody pitches in to hire a dog walker to come to your street or building at a lower negotiated rate, is one potential route. Or you could set up a pet sitting club with friends, families, or neighbors and swap free care when a member is out of town. This may require some initial effort to get the swaps running smoothly, but the payoff could be hundreds or even thousands of dollars a year. From Money.com, home sellers are taking listings off the market in record numbers as buyer demand fizzles. As the housing market continues to cool and the pool of potential buyers shrinks, more sellers are yanking their homes off the market. During the 3 months ending on November the 20th, an average of 2% of the homes for sale in the United States were delisted each week, a record high. That's according to a new analysis from the real estate brokerage Redfin, which crunched data from 43 of the 50 largest cities in the U.S. During the same period a year ago, about 1.6% of homes were delisted on average each week, according to Redfin's data. A delisted home is one that is removed from the market before it is sold. Some sellers are having a hard time grasping that we're not in a housing market frenzy anymore. It's tough for them to swallow that they missed the boat on getting a high price. Jacksonville, Florida, Redfin agent Heather Croya said in a news release, "Where home prices are going next. Normally, sellers having trouble finding bids resort will lower the asking price. And sure enough, we've seen a rise in house price cuts in recent months. But with many buyers and sellers now sitting on the sidelines to wait for a more favorable condition, prices could stay elevated for a while." Realtor.com chief economist Danielle Hale predicts that home prices will rise by 5.4% next year. That would be much slower growth than we've seen in the past 2 years, but it's growth nonetheless. Prices might not continue to plunge down as much as some projections anticipate, as the available inventory of homes on the market is constrained, Zillow senior economist Nicole Bashal said in an email commentary shared with Money earlier this week. From Kiplinger.com, dishwasher versus washing by hand, which is cheaper? How many times a week are you washing dishes? Typically every day? Have you ever wondered if washing the dishes by hand would be cheaper or vice versa? Dishwasher pros. Number 1, uses less water. A widely known feature of modern dishwashers is low water use. Most dishwashers only use 3 to 4 gallons of water per wash, depending on the settings of their automated programs. When washing, your dishwasher automatically adjusts the cycle and the water required. Believe it or not, Finish says that you can use up to 40 gallons of water to achieve the same cleaning goal as your dishwasher. It's hard to judge the amount of water you use when cleaning by hand. Imagine washing a bowl and trying to figure out how much water was used. Number two, saves energy. Hand washing uses more energy than using your dishwasher. Energy Star certified dishwashers cannot use more than 270 kilowatts per year. Energy Star points out that less than a quarter of the energy is used by the dishwasher when compared to washing by hand. Number three, saves you time. This one might be the most obvious of all, but it couldn't be any more accurate. A dishwasher provides pure convenience. There's no need to wash dishes piled up and no need to scrub. In fact, according to Energy Star, using a dishwasher can save you over 230 hours of washing up a year. That's nearly 10 days you get back. Number four, a more hygienic finish. Our hands can't withstand the temperatures needed for the majority of stains and bacteria to be wiped, but your dishwasher can. The Heavy program in particular often reaches temperatures as high as 140 degrees Fahrenheit. Hand washing pros. Number one, gentle for fragile items. This might be another obvious upside to scrubbing dishes manually, but many times people don't realize that what can't go into a dishwasher. There are certain things you should never put in a dishwasher. Otherwise, you could end up damaging the item as well as the appliance. If you're questioning if an item can go in the dishwasher, you'd be better off washing it by hand. Number two, focused cleaning where required. Have you ever taken a dish out of your dishwasher and noticed that it wasn't entirely clean? This often happens to many people. Due to the high heat of the dishwasher, any residual stains can be baked into your dishware, making it more difficult to clean them. With hand washing, you can focus on cleaning those hard-to-clean dishes and areas. It also becomes necessary when washing delicate items such as wood and exposed cast iron. So don't be afraid to roll up your sleeves if you're dealing with a tough customer, such as burnt pots and pans. Pre-soaking the stain can help to loosen it before you start to scrub. The verdict? Using a dishwasher is the distinct winner here versus washing by hand. It's faster, involves less work, and ultimately saves you money. With that said, hand washing still has its benefits and is still necessary when it comes to certain dishes. A balance of both methods will always be needed, but your dishwasher should be relied upon for everyday washing. If available, make sure to use the Econ setting on your dishwasher. You should start to see your bills drop. From Money.com, millions of Americans now qualify for free high-speed internet. It just got easier for millions of Americans to receive free high-speed internet at home. The White House announced Monday it has reached agreements with 20 internet service providers across the U.S., including the telecom giants AT&T, Comcast, and Verizon, to offer broadband plans that would be completely free for eligible low-income Americans. The plans provide speeds of at least 100 megabytes per second everywhere that the provider's infrastructure is capable of it, according to the White House. High-speed internet service is no longer a luxury. It's a necessity, the White House said in a statement on Monday. But too many families go without high-speed internet because of the cost or have to cut back on other essentials to make their monthly internet service payments. The newly available internet plans are part of the Affordable Connectivity Program, or ACP, a federal broadcast discount program created through the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law, which passed in November of 2021. The program rolled out earlier this winter and acts as a long-term extension to a defunct stimulus initiative that temporarily helped low-income households cover internet costs. The previous discount internet program offered by the government came with a more generous subsidy of $50 per month for most eligible households. But because current participating internet providers have agreed to increase speeds or lower the prices for their plans, the ACP actually covers the full monthly internet bills for more people with faster service, the White House says. Under the ACP, the federal government provides a monthly internet subsidy of up to $30 to households that earn 200% or less of the federal poverty line or receive one of several government benefit programs, including the Pell Grant, Medicaid, Supplemental Security Income, SSI, and SNAP, also known as food stamps. Households on tribal lands can receive up to $75 per month to offset the internet bills. The new agreements make broadband free for tens of millions of Americans, according to the White House. In short, 20 internet providers composed of national and local companies covering an estimated 80% of the population have created new monthly internet plans that are priced at or below $30 to match the federal subsidy. However, folks who receive the benefit may use the subsidy on a more expensive plan and foot the remaining cost if they so choose. In total, more than 1,300 providers accept the subsidy. So far, the White House says that 11.5 million households have signed up for the ACP, and that nearly one in four households could qualify for a subsidy. This suggests that millions more people would likely qualify for the benefit, but haven't yet applied to the program. To bridge the gap, the White House has directed government agencies that provide benefits, such as SSI and SNAP, to reach out to qualifying low-income households. How to get free internet from the government? To receive the benefit, low-income Americans must first apply online, by phone, or by mail. Once accepted, they need to contact a participating internet service provider like Comcast, Verizon, or one of the hundreds of other companies and sign up for a plan to apply their ACP subsidy. The White House is trying to make the application process a little smoother. In Monday's announcement, the White House also said it's launching a new website, getinternet.gov, to help folks browse participating internet providers and see if they qualify. From Kiplinger Personal Finance, inflation's effect on our finances. The highest inflation rate in 40 years and the looming possibility of recession are weighing on Americans, leading to curtailed savings and a level of spending that's outpacing wages. Americans saved 3.1% of their after-tax income in September, which is less than half the rate they were saving before the pandemic. More than half, 54% of Americans, have stopped or reduced retirement savings due to inflation, according to the Market Perception Study from Alliance Life. Meanwhile, 62% of Americans surveyed by Alliance Life are worried that a major recession is around the corner. Phantom spending. Even though wages are rising quickly, they're not keeping pace with spending. Consumer spending increased $113 billion, or 0.6% in September, while personal income increased $78.9 billion, or 0.4%, according to the Federal Reserve. Top contributors to spending were air travel, prescription drugs, and new vehicles. But mortgage, auto, and credit card debt is also increasing. Total card balances in the U.S. hit $916 billion in September, nearly identical to December 2019 levels, according to the credit reporting firm Equifax. Balances are up 9% from January and nearly one-fourth higher than their pandemic low in April of 2021. A study by Morgan Stanley at Work found that 26% of respondents have cut back on efforts to reduce debt, and that 71% of U.S. workers are experiencing financial stress that is negatively affecting their work and their personal lives. Many consumers are limiting spending to less expensive and discounted items. According to a Magnify Money survey, most consumers are putting off major expenditures such as buying a house or starting a family, as well as working towards retirement. One-fifth of respondents have taken money out of their retirement accounts over the past 2 years, mostly to pay for emergency expenses. But the market for luxury items such as Coach bags and international travel is still strong. Of the 43% of U.S. adults planning to travel this holiday season, nearly 80% are changing their plans this year due to inflation and rising prices, according to a survey from Bankrate. Among those planning overnight leisure trips between Thanksgiving and New Year's, 26% say they will travel for fewer days, 25% will engage in cheaper activities, and 25% are selecting less expensive accommodations or destinations. Well, we have now run out of time for this session of Money Matters. I hope you've enjoyed it and hope that you will be sure to listen to us again next time. I'm Larry Wilson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. That number again is 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Money Matters is also available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.